So in Matthew 16, 24, this is a parallel passage that's in all the Gospels, but we're going to start with Matthew 16, 24, and then be able to touch on the other ones as well this evening. So if you found your place there with me, go ahead and follow along silently with me as I read. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and opportunity that we have just to come together and open up your word and just do what you have us to do, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you would just give me your words to speak. I pray, Lord, that you would just help me just to convey your message to these people. Just help me to get out of the way and just help you to be glorified here, Lord. I just thank you for this opportunity again, and I pray again that you would just be with the service here, be with us in all that we do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our passage this evening, Matthew 16, 24, has some conditions for discipleship. And we're going to come back to those in a moment, but I want you to kind of back away from that for a second. And I want to start off tonight by you transporting yourselves in thought back to the time of our Lord. So I want you to go with me back to the time where we're in Jerusalem and we're on the street there and we're just being able to see the day-to-day life that's going along, and there's merchants going in and out of their shops, and there's kids running along the street there, and there's pedestrians passing by you, and you're there, and the smells are there, and you can kind of see the dirt on the streets, and you can see the walls, and you can see just the coverings that are covering the doorways. You're putting yourself back in that time. And why that's important is because I'm going to read to you the account from John 19 in verses 16 and 20, or 16 through 17, that's Christ's crucifixion. And I don't want you to picture Christ's crucifixion as if you're sitting here today in a pew and that you're here with your modern conveniences. I want you to picture Christ's crucifixion as if you're standing there and you're watching him walk by. So John 19, starting in verse 16, says this, "Then delivered he him therefore unto him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." And verse 17, "And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha." So as this event took place and you and I are standing there, we could go up to any stranger on the street and they would understand what is happening. So as we were standing there, and maybe we didn't understand what was happening, this man that had been beaten, looking nearly half dead, carrying this cross that seemed to be too large for him to actually bear on his own down the street, we would say, you know what is going on here? But this is something that's commonplace in that day and age. Yes, Christ himself was not commonplace in this, but this is something that was commonplace, and any person on the street would have been able to say, you know what, this is a criminal. This is a criminal that's been tried. This is a criminal that's been condemned to death after his trial, and this is a criminal now on his way to execution. This was what they did. And yes, Christ was different in that he was perfect, but anybody that day and age could have seen that sight, and maybe it was Christ, maybe it was somebody else carrying their cross up to the hill of execution, and they would have said, that's a criminal, that's someone that's been condemned, that's someone on their way to execution. So I want you to understand it was commonplace in that day and age. It was just like you and I, and we see a car nowadays, and it's driving down the road, and it's all painted up, and it has cans and ribbons kind of hanging off the back end of it. What do we think that is? Somebody got married. It's commonplace today. The same thing, as sad as it was back in Jesus' day, was commonplace. You see a man carrying a cross. He's condemned. He's convicted. He's a criminal on his way to execution. And the reason that's important, and the reason I wanted you to take yourself back to that time, was because these commands that Jesus gave his disciples, in the four Gospels and also in a separate place, these commands included taking the cross. These commands included bearing the cross. These commands included taking up the cross, because that was something that the men and women of that time knew exactly what it meant. And we need to understand what it means this evening. You know, at that time, you would have seen many things, but there was a kind of filter that we have in front of us today. There was something that Christ wanted to make sure that he got across to his disciples, and so he used something that was very familiar to them. And in that list of commands, which we read in Matthew 16, 24, he says, you know what, let you deny yourself and follow me. But it says, take up your cross. And this was Christ's call to the disciples to serve him. Yeah, I think he may have been in some sense saying, physically take up a cross like I dig. But But I think more than that, Christ was going to his disciples and he was saying, you're going to have to take up a cross. You're going to have to bear the reproach of this world. You're going to have to put yourself into a place where you look like a criminal. You're going to have to put yourself into a place where people are going to treat you unkindly because of the stand that you take for me. And that's what I want to talk to you about this evening. As we read over this list of commands, like I said, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. I think most of us, when we get to the end of that, we generally have an understanding, I'm going to follow Christ. You're here on a Sunday night. I think generally we get to that point and we say, you know what? I'll follow Christ. I'll come to church. I'll pay my tithe. I'll pray. I'll even read my Bible. Maybe I'll give some offerings. I will follow Christ. But I think we don't get the depth of what he's asking for here. I think we don't necessarily understand exactly what this entails. We rattle it off as we go through the verses, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Christ. That's all good. I'll do that. But do we really look at what it means? And I think many of us don't. If I was to ask you today, you know what, in your mind, does it mean to you to take up the cross? We'd have 50, 60 different answers in here tonight, probably. And I'm not saying that you're wrong necessarily. Some might have a perfect picture of what it means, but I think all too often we in churches come to a point where we're not necessarily teaching things and the people of the church have a misunderstanding. How many of us have ever been in a church, and not this church because we wouldn't do this in this church, but you've been in a church and somebody said, you know what, that's just my cross to bear. It's Aunt Lucy over here. That's just my cross, right? How about this? You know, I have my bills over here and I can't pay them. That's just my cross to bear. You think that's what God was talking about here? No. So we misuse the term and we propagate that misunderstanding. But I think if we actually look at what it means from Scripture and we look at the words, we'll have a fuller understanding this evening. And that's what I want to go through this evening. Today I want to share with you that bearing his cross in reality is the Christian life. The Christian life. Today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, all the way through the end of your life. Bearing the cross is what God calls us each to do. And it's the Christian life, or at least it should be. And as I mentioned, this condition is associated, it was named on three different times in the terms of the disciples, and we're going to go through each of those. So let's jump off. We're going to do a little bit of a word study this evening. And I'm not going to make you get into Greek or anything like that, but let's go to Matthew 10:38 to start off. Matthew 10:38 this evening. And again, you're going to find that each of these phrases, each of these scriptures are going to be very similar to one another, but they have very distinct differences in some of the words, and they're important to helping us understand what's taking place. So Matthew 10:38. Matthew 10:38 says this, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." It's very similar to what we just read in Matthew there, but this has the word taketh in it. And if you go in, the words that they chose for each of these scriptures aren't by accident. Praise God. I'm glad we have the version of the Bible, the KJV Bible that we have today, and it's God's inspired word. And guess what? Each one of those words has a meaning, and each one of those words has a meaning to impact us. So taketh, you know, taketh or take has a definition. It means a personal receiving or an accepting. The taking of a thing offered. Pastor stayed up here, so I'm going to do something with him. Why don't you take this? All right, did he take it? Yeah, he took my pen. Did he have a choice? Yeah, he had a choice. And that's what taketh means. You know, it's a personal receiving. It's a personally, I'm going to offer something to you, and you have a choice whether to reach out and grasp it or not, and then to take it to yourself. This isn't the only place in the Bible that this word was used. In John 1:12, the same word in the original text, was in the English version as received him, or received. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have taketh in Matthew 10:38, and it also can be said as received. In Matthew 26:26, the same word is eat, or take, so as in take, eat. And in Revelation 11:17, the same word, thou hast taken to thee. God meant something when he said, I want you to take this. He said, taketh the cross. And God's choice to include these words, he wants you to know that you have a choice to make when it comes to the cross. And I'm not talking about salvation at this point, but it's the same choice that you had at salvation. You know, we list salvation as a gift, and we talk, especially in junior church, you know, this is a gift that's been offered to you, and that's an easy way to understand salvation. You know, God did these amazing things. He came down, and he was his man, and he died on that cross in our place, and he raised again himself 3 days later, and now he's in heaven, and he's got this gift for you if you just want to take it. But you have a choice to make, to receive it. And the same thing applies to us today. As Christians, you know, we've gotten past that hurdle of salvation. We haven't done anything on our own but make the choice to take this gift. But God is saying, you know what? Now that you've made that choice to take that gift, I have another choice for you. I have the cross for you. I have that cross of reproach for you. I have that cross of service for you. I have that something that you need to do. And you have a choice whether you're going to take it or not. When Christ uses the word take or taketh, he's trying to emphasize to you and I that there is something offered to us that we can receive. Now let's go to Matthew 16:24 again, the text that we started out with today. And you can turn to Matthew 16:24 if some of you want to turn to Mark 8:34. They're parallel passages, they're almost identical. And I'll read them again for us tonight. So Matthew 16:24. Again, then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Mark 8:34 says, and when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So here again is the choice that we have. But in this case, the act goes a little bit further than just receiving something that's offered to you. It requires some sort of effort on your part as it returns the object to its proper place. So I'm going to need some help tonight from some young man. Anybody want to help me this evening? You got to raise your hand or I'll pick on you. All right, Nathaniel's ducking. He doesn't want to do it. One of you boys, do you want to help me? All right, it won't be long. So here the word that we're looking at is take up. And the word take up has the meaning of raising or lifting something that lies on the ground. So I have a cross here, and you guys are probably wondering about pastor's decorating style, bringing some 2x4s in. But there's a cross down here, and I want you to pick it up. It's not going to bite you. It's okay. All right, pick it up. That took more effort than it took him to take the pen, right? All right, now I want you to lift it up. Does that take more effort than taking the pen? All right, go ahead and put it back down for me. I appreciate your help. So take up has the meaning of rising or lifting something that lies on the ground. And again, this is the same word that we use in other places. Matthew 9:6 says, take up thy bed. Matthew 14:12, they took up the body. Matthew 15:37, they took up the broken meat. And we might also say lift or lift up or rise up. And I think it can be said when someone is raising something up in the air to display it. All right? Taking it up. Where was this before he picked it up? On the ground. Is that where the cross should be? No. But that's exactly where the world wants it. That's exactly where everybody outside this building probably wants it. Because you know what? Can you see this cross, Destiny? All right. Can you see this cross, Pedro? No. Most of us, if you're in the back, if you're far away and it's on the ground, guess what? Especially if I put it further down, are you going to see it? No. You're not going to see it. But you know what? God says, I want you to take it up, lift it up off the ground, and I want you to raise it up. Now, can you see it, Destiny? Yeah, you can see it now. And again, you say, that's just a word. That's just a word here and there in the Bible, taketh or take up, but they have drastically different meanings. And while the world wants it on the ground, God's trying to emphasize to us, this is important. This is something that needs to be seen by the world. This is something that needs to be seen by fellow Christians. This is something that needs to be seen by your family. And the only way they're going to see it is not if it's laying on the ground there in the mud being trampled, but if you lift it up, if you raise it up, if you take up the cross. That's what he's asking us to do. When Christ uses the phrase to take it up, I believe he's trying to emphasize to you and I that there's something, his cross, his life, represented by that cross, his gospel, represented by those two pieces of wood. He wants us to take that and he wants us to lift it off the ground into its proper place so that we can show the world what he means. That's taking up the cross. And that's something that shouldn't be left on the ground. There's something that wouldn't be visible to others. And we actually have to do what? We actually have to inconvenience ourselves. Was it very inconvenient for Pastor to take that pen from me? No, he didn't even have to get out of his chair, did he? Here's a pen. Take it, great, I'm going to receive that. You know what, it probably wasn't very inconvenient when we got saved. God did all the work, and he made these promises to us, and he said, you know what, here's a gift, all you have to do is actually believe something. That's not very inconvenient for most of us. But when we get to this point in our Christianity, after salvation, when God is saying, you know what, you can deny yourself, you can follow me, and you can take up the cross, we actually have to bend over. We actually have to lift something up. We actually have to make some effort to get it in the air because he wants it on display. And he says, you know what, it's not my turn to do the work anymore. It's time for you to do something. That's taking up the cross of Christ. And that's what he was challenging his disciples to do. That's what he was saying, you know what? I'm not always going to be here to do the work. I'm not always going to be here to be the leader. I need you men, you disciples, and today us as Christians to inconvenience yourself and do something for the cause of Christ. Do something so that other people understand what it means to be saved. That's taking up the cross. And let's go to Luke 14, 27. He didn't stop there. In Luke 14, 27, he uses another word. He uses the word bear. In this verse. In Luke 14, 27, he says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And the word bear here means carrying something that's already lifted up. Luke 7, 14, they use the same word in "they that bear him." They'd lifted up a man and they were carrying him. In Luke 10, 4, they say, "Carry neither purse nor scrip." Again, bearing, carrying is the same word. And then in Luke 22, 10, bearing a pitcher of water. It's already up off the ground. Somebody's already picked it up for you. Maybe you picked it up for yourself, but guess what? Now you need to carry it. That's what the word bear means here. Do we still have a choice? Yeah, we still have a choice. You can choose whether to take that out of somebody's hand, whether to receive it, take it. You can choose whether you lift it up off the ground. We still have a choice here. But once it gets in our hands, God is saying, you know what? You need to go a little bit further. We still have a choice. Again, we choose to take it or not, to serve him or not. But I think if we choose to obey, if we choose to take up the cross of Christ, he's used the word bear to help us to understand that this is something that's going to take a while. It's not a one-time act. It's something that needs to be carried forward to other lands, to other people throughout our lives. And I have an example that I'm hoping, I think Brother Vaughn can probably help me with this one. You can stay seated. It's just a question. Brother Vaughn was a Marine. I think he has some understanding of bearing some things. Did they ever make you carry anything on your shoulder? All right. So in the Marines, if the general came and he said, you know what, I want you to carry this beam with your buddies to the wall and back, what would you do? Carry it to the wall and back, all right? Now, if that same general came and he said, all right, guys, I want you to carry this beam, where are you going to carry it to? Until he tells you to put it down. Always. There is no end point. And you know what? God said, I didn't ask you to carry it to the wall and back. I didn't ask you to carry this for a definite period of time. I asked you to actually pick up this cross, take up this cross, and bear this cross. And you know what? I didn't say to put it down. I said to bear it. I can't think of Christ that day when he was walking down towards his execution in the pain of his physical body, enduring that cross on his shoulder and on his back. That was his bearing. And you know what? There was an end to that. But God today is asking us as Christians to get to a point in our lives where we say, yes, God, I do want to make the choice to serve you. I do want to take the choice to actually take up the cross, and I'm going to bear it until you tell me to put it down. Because that's what Scripture says. He says to bear your cross. You want to be a disciple of Christ? You want to be a Christian? Bear the cross. And if you don't have the stomach, if you don't have the fortitude to keep doing it next month or next year or 10 years from now, maybe you should think about actually picking it up in the first place. Because he doesn't say you have to. But he says, if you want to be my disciple, if you really want to serve me, you need to take it up and you need to bear it. If you make the choice to serve him, it needs to be a daily endeavor. You know, another verse in Luke, if you go back just a little bit in Luke 9, 23, we again have the same portion of Scripture. But this has a little bit extra on the end. So in Luke 9, 23, he says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross." What's that word? Daily. Our other scriptures didn't say that. But God wants to emphasize you need to bear the cross and you need to take up this cross and it needs to be a daily endeavor on your behalf because you know what? You need to do this from now to eternity. You need to do this. And that's the essence of Christian life. That's the Christian life. That's at least what the Christian life should be. The disciples were called Christians, right? And so for you and I, when you're calling yourselves Christians, those same principles should apply to us. Let him deny himself. Let him take up the cross. Let him follow me. That's the essence of Christianity. And God made it abundantly clear what he means. So those were the mechanics. Take it up, bear it. But what does it mean? I'm going to have some verses here that I'm going to read to you kind of quickly, And I want you just to listen to me, because these few verses is where the Lord explained the treatment that the disciples were going to be meeting in a Christ-rejecting world. And it's the same thing that you and I are going to meet in this world if we make the choice to follow God. In Matthew 5:11, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely." Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men." Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations." Luke 6:22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil." And John 16:22, "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." Remember we talked at the very beginning about what it meant to carry the cross? That's a criminal, right? That's someone that's been tried. That's someone on their way to execution. That's someone that, you know what? It wouldn't be half bad to think these things about them. They did something wrong. I should revile them. They're a criminal. They should be persecuted. You know what? People should hate them. Maybe they should be separated from their family. Maybe their country should not care for them. That's what God is saying. You know what? That's for you and I too. And you say, you know what? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not a criminal. I haven't done those things that those criminals back in Christ's day have done. I'm not carrying that cross, but that's exactly what God says for us to do. He didn't say, you know what? I want you to bear the cross and not take everything that the cross has intended for you. He didn't say when he was carrying the cross that he wasn't going to take it because he was perfect, even though he was. He endured it. He bared that cross. And guess what? He was executed. But why was he executed? For something good. And I kind of cheated you there. I didn't read all of those verses. When Christ asks us to do this, this hard choice to serve him, to bear the cross, it comes with a great end. I'm going to read these verses over to you again that I just read. I'm going to read the entire verse. Context matters, right? Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely." This is what I left off. "For my sake." Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake." Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up to the afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Luke 6:22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out in the name of evil for the Son of Man's sake." God says it's worth it. In each of the above portions of Scripture, you know what? Kiki ends it by saying, it's for my sake, it's for Christ's sake, it's for the Son of Man's sake. Why are we bearing this? Why are we lifting this? Why are we taking this off the ground? Again, it's for God's sake. I get nothing by bearing this cross. I get persecution. I get reviled. I get separation from the world. I get coworkers that make fun of me. I get family that doesn't understand. I get tight finances. I get all of those things. But God says, you know what you get if you take up this cross? If you bear it in my name, it's for my sake. He gets the glory. People get saved. They understand the gospel. We need to lift it for his sake. That's what it's about. And we come to church and we listen, and we go home just like we were, and we don't make any effort to do anything else. But God says, lift up the cross for my sake. That family member that's not saved, that coworker that's not saved, the people down the street that don't know about God, that's why we're doing it. We don't just come and put on a nice suit so we can say, you know what, I met with my friends today and they encouraged me and I'm going to go home. We bear this cross. We lift this cross. We display this cross. We say we're Christians so we can do something in this world for him. Otherwise, why are we doing it? He said, it's for my sake, for his glory. And that's the only reason we can do it. You know, even Brother Vaughn is a Marine. Eventually, he's going to have to put down that board. His general could say, you know what, you guys are going to walk forever. It's not going to be forever. They're going to give it their best shot. They're going to walk for as far as they can, and they're going to carry that as far as they can. But eventually, they're going to succumb to fatigue. And God says, you know what? I asked you to bear this cross. I asked you to take on these burdens, this persecution, whatever comes with it, this reproach. I asked you to bear that. I asked you to take it and lift it up and display it. And the only way that we can do this is not in our strength, but again, because God says it's for my sake. And anything that he says for you and I to do for his sake, he's going to help us to do it. And we have a lot to do as Christians. You know, this city, this world, billions of people don't know God. And you know what? Pastor and Pastor Frank and Brother Reed, they're here day in and day out, and they're trying to reach the city, and they're trying to help the people in this church, and they're trying to do the best that they can to serve God. And I think many of us are here with them, trying to serve with them and get them further along. But you know what? The only way we're going to accomplish this goal is if we all make the choice to bear that cross. And we all make the choice to lift it up. And we all make that choice together to rely on God to do something for His sake. It's a matter of choice. I told you at the beginning, you know what? If you don't want to bear that cross next week, don't pick it up. I taught in my Sunday school class, we're going through these same conditions, and today was the matter of choice, counting the cost. And you know what? There's something that happens. If you choose to lift this up and then a month later choose to put it down, you're called a hypocrite. Because that family member that saw you loving God and now see you sinning isn't going to want anything to do with that God. And that coworker that sees you say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to lift His flag high, and then sees you put it down a year from now, they're not going to want to trust that God. And so it's an important choice, but it's a choice that you need to make, and it's a choice, hopefully, that you will make. And it's a definite action upon that choice in actually taking up the offered cross in the service of Christ. Not everybody's called to do what Pastor's doing. God didn't call you necessarily to lead a church, to take on those burdens, to take on those problems, to take on those struggles. But He told each of us to bear the cross. And while your cross isn't going to be Aunt Lucy, and it's not going to be your financial problems and things like that, your cross is something to serve Christ. It is some service to Christ, and it is some service to Christ for His glory. And if you're not bearing that cross, somebody else gets to pick it up. You know, a common thing back in the day of bearing the cross would be that the person, the criminal that was actually bearing their cross, would collapse. You got to think, they've been beaten, they've been persecuted, they've probably been starved, and now they put this very heavy instrument of execution upon them. Some just couldn't take it. And when some couldn't take it, the soldiers would usually have somebody in the crowd come over, or a good Samaritan would come over, and they would bear that cross for them to the mountain of their execution. Somebody's going to do the work. Somebody's going to bear the cross, even if it's yours. What you need to decide in your heart is, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to choose to take it. I'm going to choose to take it up, to lift it up. I'm going to choose to bear it. I'm going to choose to serve God for His glory, because I don't want somebody else to have to do my work. And I want God to get the glory He deserves. It doesn't belong on the ground. It doesn't belong in the mud. It doesn't belong being trampled. We need to lift it high. We need to be a light for Him. And we need to do what God has called us to do as Christians and as a church. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for bringing us together today. Thank You for this time and opportunity we have just to understand what it means to serve You. You know, we went through those conditions of discipleship. We went through those conditions that said, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to deny myself. And time didn't permit to go through each of those elements, but there's so much there, Lord. And as we read our Bibles, we go through and we just skim over it and say, yeah, I'm going to do those things. I'll follow God. I'm a Christian. Without really thinking about the implications that He's called us to.